Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The verse there is 45. Right. Jagadevan Prabhu, I think he did 45, no? Yesterday he said. Someone was in class yesterday? No, but I think Jagadevan wrote a couple of verses. He did 44 and he did 45. 46 today. Yeah, we can read this verse. Yena Yavan Yata Damo Damo Deha Samitita Sa Eva Tatpalam Bhunti Tata Tavad Amutra Vai Yena Yavan Yata Damo Damo Veha Samihita Sa Eva Tatpalam Bhunti Tata Tavad Amutra Vai Yena Yavan Yata Damo Damo Veha Samihita Damo Sa Iva Tatpalam Bhunte Tata Tavad Amutra Vai Yena Yavan Yata Damo Damo Veha Samihitaha Sa Iva Tat Palam Bhunte Tata Tavad Amutra Vai. Others? Yena, by which person? Yavan, to which extent? Yata, in which manner? Adama, irreligious activities. Dhamma, religious activities. Va, or Iha, in this life. Samihitaha performs. Saha, that person. Eva, indeed. Tatphalam, the particular result of that. Bhukti, enjoys or suffers. Tata, in that way. Tavat, to that extent. Amutra, in the next life. Vai, indeed. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. In proportion to the extent of one's religious or irreligious actions in this life, one must enjoy or suffer the corresponding reactions of his karma in the next. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 14:18, Udvam gacchati tattva tvam madhye tisanti rajasa vyajaj hanya guna vritti sta adho gacchanti tamasaha. Those who act in the mode of goodness are promoted to higher planetary systems to become demigods. Those who act in an ordinary way and do not commit excessively sinful acts remain within this middle planetary system. And those who perform abominable sinful actions must go down to hellish life. Jagadevan Prabhu told me that he actually spoke on this verse. So I'm also going to read the next verse in the purport. Yateha eva pravaras trivid yan apalabhyati bhuteshu guna vaichityat tatan yatra nimuyate. O best of the demigods, we can see three different varieties of life, which are due to the contamination of the three modes of nature. The living entities are thus known as peaceful, restless, and foolish, as happy, unhappy, or in between, or as religious, irreligious, and semi-religious. We can deduce that in the next life, these three kinds of material nature will naturally act. Purport. The actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature are visible in this life. For example, some people are very happy. Some are very distressed. And some are mixed happiness and distress. This is the result of past association with the modes of material nature. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. Since these varieties are visible in this life, we may assume that the living entities, according to their association with the different modes of material nature, will be happy, distressed, or between the two in their next lives also. Therefore, the best policy is to disassociate oneself from the three modes of material nature and be always transcendental to their contamination. This is possible only when one fully engages in the devotional service of the Lord. As Krishna confirms in the Bhagavad Gita 14:26, Mamcha yog vibhacharina bhakti yogina sevati sagunam samitam yaitam brahma boyate boyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service who does not fall down under any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the spiritual platform. Unless one is fully absorbed in the service of the Lord, one is subject to the contamination of the three modes of material nature and must therefore suffer from distress or mixed happiness and distress. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swavamiti Namini Namaste Sarasati Devam Gauravani Pacharani Nivishesha Sunyavadi Paskachadi Sitarani Vancha Kaupa Tarivascha Kripa Sindhu Bhivacha Patitanam Pavani Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. These sets of verses given by the Yamadutas are very fixed in clinical evaluation of how the modes of material nature work. And Srila Prabhupada confirms their way of evaluating in the purports. Even though we know that the Yamadutas are making some mistake because they're not taking into consideration some elements which are beyond their perception, they are speaking actually fundamental truths here regarding how the modes of material nature work on the living entity. And Srila Prabhupada confirms it. So the modes of material nature bind ourselves into a set of functioning and acting which knows no solution to get out of. Bound up by the three modes of material nature, conditioned souls, not free to act, but actually acting as the modes of material nature direct us, depending on our attraction to them and our desire for interaction with them. And thus we are called imprisoned. But Srila Prabhupada explains here in this purport, and this is what the Yamadutas did not manage to understand, the element of being absorbed in Krishna consciousness, the element of being under Krishna's divine protection. And he explains here the qualification of being under Krishna's protection and therefore not affected by the material modes of material nature, to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So, I thought I would read a little bit about being absorbed in Krishna consciousness. This is taken from the Vanipedia. There is a page called Absorbed in Krishna Consciousness, and we're going to read a few statements that Srila Prabhupada makes, and Krishna himself makes. It starts with the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says in 4:24, a person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. In the purport, Prabhupada says, when the mind is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, it is said to be in samadhi, or trance. Then further on, he moves into the Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter. Prabhupada says, the best way to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness is to be always dovetailed in his service. And this will make one's path to the spiritual kingdom safe certain and direct. Further on in the 16th chapter, Srila Prabhupada says, those who are in Krishna consciousness at least should not beget children like cats and dogs, but should beget them so that they may become Krishna conscious after birth. That should be the advantage of children born of a father and mother absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Moving into the Bhagavatam, in the third canto, Srila Prabhupada states, it is specifically mentioned here that a woman's large hips are very attractive and they stimulate man's passion. But the wonderful feature of Vaikuntha is that although the women have large hips and beautiful faces and are decorated with ornaments of emeralds and jewels, the men are so absorbed in Krishna consciousness that the beautiful bodies of the woman cannot attract them. Further on in the third canto, Prabhupada says, it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that a person who is always absorbed in Krishna consciousness is the topmost yogi. Then further on in the third canto, it appears that Kadama Muni was fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness because as soon as he became silent, he at once began to think of Lord Vishnu. As soon as he was silent, his mind went directly to Krishna, absorption in Krishna. So sometimes one has to speak, one has things to do, a little bit of chitter-chatting or a little bit of organizing, a little bit of communication, and then silence. Mind goes immediately to Krishna. That is an act of being fully absorbed in Krishna's consciousness. Now in the third canto, again, Prabhupada says, the child prays. It is better to remain within the womb of darkness and be constantly absorbed in Krishna consciousness than to get out and again fall a victim to the illusory energy. Into the fourth canto, again, a repetition of something Prabhupada mentions in the third canto regarding the Vaikuntha planets. Indeed, they consider sex not to be very relishable because both husband and wife are always absorbed in Krishna consciousness and in glorifying and chanting the glories of the Lord. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, a husband and wife can live in Vaikuntha simply by installing the deity according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a husband and wife can turn the home into a place as good as Vaikuntha even while in this material world. Being absorbed in Krishna consciousness, even in this world, husband and wife can live in Vaikuntha simply by installing the deity of the Lord within the home and serving the deity according to the directions of the Shastras. So we can see Prabhupada is unpacking very expertly through these purports what it is to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. He's establishing the standard that absorption in Krishna consciousness is not just to partially practice. To the degree that we partially practice our Krishna consciousness, to that degree we still have to accept to be controlled by the modes of material nature and to be affected by happiness and distress. you know, victory and defeat. So Srila Prabhupada is inviting us to, he's giving us a facility to become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And that is his grace. A wise man, indeed, who understands very clearly how the modes of material nature work. We don't understand that. We're locked in the labyrinth. You know, we're locked in the matrix of our own mind and our own senses and our desires, our aspirations. And Prabhupada, who's very wise and very much above that, is very mercifully giving us the opportunity to become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada sacrificed his life not because he needed to work hard in order to free himself from the modes of material nature, but he worked very hard in order to give us the opportunity to take shelter. And you're very fortunate here. I am a testimony of your good fortune, because sometimes you can maybe live in a place and become familiar with the situation. But I can testify, because I'm coming from outside and I'm the observer, I can testify how greatly fortunate you all are to be sitting here at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet in his office, and to be the recipients of his hard struggle. As we all know, Prabhupada struggled very hard. Prabhupada even said, it left a bitter taste in my mouth. The struggle that he had to go through to establish Radha Rasa Bihari's home, where the devotees could come and perform shelter. So if you like, I can say a couple of things about Bombay. Bombay city is the best city, the most advanced city in India. The best city in India. And people are also very nice. They are religiously inclined. They are opulent. They can take up better things very nicely. Therefore, I wanted to start this center, Bombay. Again, on the same theme, Prabhupada says, Bombay is the best city in India. And people are also very advanced, enlightened. So let us combine together and develop this institution for the whole human society. That is our ambition. It is not for any sect or any creed or any particular class of men. Again, Bombay is a very advanced city in India in all respects. They have got money and they have got heart also to participate in such a movement. So Prabhupada is loving the Bombayites, the people of Bombay. He has an affection for Bombay. And here he talks about Kartik. That's very interesting. He says, even today in India, the festival, the incident of Krishna's breaking the pot of yogurt and being bound by Mother Yashoda is generally celebrated very gorgeously in the month of Kartik by fireworks and lights, especially in Bombay. Flower garlands should be expanded, and all expenditures for the deities must be expanded without any miserly contemplation. Our temple should be so gorgeously decorated that we shall excel all Bombay temples. This is my idea. We were just in the farm yesterday and relishing the vision and the insight and the determination of the devotees there to supply Radharasa Bihari with all flowers, all milk, everything that they can, all ingredients for offering to the deities. So this is, you see, we are sheltered by three things in devotional service. We are sheltered by three sadhanas in devotional service. Does anyone know what those three sadhanas are? Three sadhanas. Three specific forms of sadhana which Srila Prabhupada gave us. It's not difficult. Chanting Hare Krishna. This is a sadhana that Srila Prabhupada has given us to be protected by. So he established the chanting of Hare Krishna, be it the chanting of 16 rounds, or be it the continuous kirtan in the temples, or be it the Harinams going out into the material world. Yes, that is a sadhana that Srila Prabhupada has given us. Second sadhana, please. Deity worship, excellent. This is a sadhana that Srila Prabhupada has given us to take shelter in, to rise early in the morning and to come and worship the Lord and to practice the act of devotion, awakening our devotion and our appreciation for the beautiful form of Krishna, so that during the day we can meditate on Radharasa Bihari's form, so that the forms of the material world do not become so attractive looking or so bewildering for us. Excellent. Third sadhana. Huh? Shravanam. Shravanam of what? Books. Srila Prabhupada's books. He has given us a third sadhana to study his books. He gave us his books as a sadhana. And he told us to distribute his books to invite people to come into these sadhanas, to get an attraction to chant Hare Krishna, to get an attraction to worship the deity. So we have to understand this now. What is this sadhana of chanting Hare Krishna doing? It's giving us a direct connection with Krishna. What is this sadhana of worshipping the deity doing? It's giving us a direct connection with Krishna. Now the sadhana of studying Srila Prabhupada's teachings is a little more complex. It is giving us the association of Krishna, but it's giving us the association of all of Krishna's devotees and all other incarnations of Krishna. And it's giving us the association, just like here, of knowledge, of wisdom, of truth, for us to start to transform our understandings, our conceptions, our convictions on what is real and what is not real. This is why Srila Prabhupada has given us these books. This is why Krishna gave Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Arjuna became a bewildered lad. He did not know what was right and what was wrong. He could not discriminate. So Krishna gave him the wisdom of the Gita. And then he became enlightened. So the Bhagavatam, this is interesting. Ajamil, one person, one devotee. How many devotees are in this world? And how many devotees have been in this world since the time of Ajamil? But somehow, Ajamil has been immortalized in the Bhagavatam. And we are discussing today the pastimes of Ajamil as it has been expressed in the Bhagavatam and unpacked and delivered by Srila Prabhupada. And that's been going on for 5,000 years. And that will continue going on for 5,000 years. Through the medium of devotees speaking from Srila Prabhupada's books. So these sadhanas are meant to go on. There is meant to be no cessation to the chanting of Hare Krishna. There's meant to be no cessation to the worship of Radha Rasa Bihari. And there's meant to be no cessation to the worship of the Bhagavatam. Now the personality who has given us the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada, to which degree should we be worshipping him? To which degree should we be placing him into the Bhagavatam? There is a very interesting question asked to Srila Prabhupada in 1968. Would you like to hear that question? There's a question. A woman asks Prabhupada, he's giving a lecture on the Sad Goswami Astaka in Los Angeles in 1968. And a woman asks Prabhupada, is there anyone similar to Joan of Arc in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Prabhupada says, Woman, are you familiar with Joan of Arc? She was a saint. Prabhupada says, yes. The woman repeats her question. Is there any person in the Srimad Bhagavatam similar to her? And Srila Prabhupada answers, you want to see Joan of Arc in Srimad Bhagavatam? Why don't you take Joan of Arc of Srimad Bhagavatam? Any activities of devotees, that is Srimad Bhagavatam. What do you mean by Bhagavatam? Bhagavatam. Bhagavat. This word comes from Bhagavan. Bhagavatar. Bhagavad Sabda. The word is Bhagavatar. And pertaining to Bhagavatar is Bhagavatar. So Bhagavatar can be expanded to any unlimited. So anything in relationship with God, that is Bhagavatam. So if Joan of Arc, if she is in relationship with God, she is also Bhagavatam. Why should you should expand Bhagavatam in that way? Interesting. And this is credibility to Joan of Arc, who is not even in our tradition. So what to speak of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who is our founder Acharya, how much we should be working to place Srila Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam, to make sure that His glories are expounded in 5,000 years, just as Ajamil's glories are expounded in 5,000 years, in the last 5,000 years. This is a wonderful, wonderful seva to do. And in order to do this successfully, just like we cannot speak extensively on the Bhagavatam unless we have read the Bhagavatam, unless we have understood the Bhagavatam. So similarly, we cannot speak extensively on Srila Prabhupada unless we have understood him, unless we know some things. So is that difficult in this day and age to know a little bit about Srila Prabhupada? It's very easy. Very fortunate. How difficult it has been for the Christians to represent their master. And how much times have they actually failed in this regards? So do we actually have now a Christian movement which represents the will of the Master, the spirit, the intent, the desire, the instructions? That's a question. To which capacity have they been able to capture that will and represent it, keep it alive? So we're very fortunate that we're not caught in such a disadvantaged situation because we have so much documentation of Srila Prabhupada's direct will of what it was, what it is that he liked and what he didn't and what he stood for and what he didn't stand for and what he wanted and what he didn't want. So we're very fortunate. So the onus on us is simply to take the sadhana. Just as nobody can chant our rounds for us, even though the instruction is there, even though the sangha is there, we have to do it ourselves. Have you ever seen devotees carried to Mangalartik while they were sleeping? I've never seen that. You've seen that? So we have to wake up ourselves. We might get help in the ashram. Prabhu, come on, wake up. You know, there's many stories of devotees helping other devotees wake up. But, you know, basically then they've got to walk to the shower themselves, put on their tilak, put on their dhoti, and come to Mangalati. So similarly, even though there can be so many instructions that we should study Prabhupada's teachings, it doesn't necessarily mean that we'll do it. Unless we want to. Unless we take it upon ourselves to do it. So, all I can do in this regard to encourage everybody to associate with Srila Prabhupada in his teachings is to distribute these to all the devotees. So after class, you can all come and get one of these. What this is a nice listing of 60 ways that Srila Prabhupada has requested the devotees to study his books. And we compiled them into three sections. They are quite natural sections. One is frequency, how often. One is mood, in which approach. And one is method, the actual methodology. So we could spend a little time, maybe. Devotees can suggest some ways that they have remembered or heard or read that Prabhupada said we should study his teachings. And we'll see if they're here. Huh? Scrutinizingly. We do have scrutinizingly. Very good. And that is under the method. Yeah. Here we have, actually, in regards to time and the frequency, we have at least 1 hour daily. But there's another one, at least 1 or 2 hours daily. And there's another one, at least 3 hours a day. And then there's another one, reading 24 hours. Different points of view. The devotees are very inspired and enlivened here. So from the different points of view, we have a whole series under method. From all angles of vision, from different lights of direction, from every point of view, from varieties of angles, inspecting the subject matter from all angles of approach, and savoring the new understanding. To understand the subject matter from different angles of vision. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 similar ways regarding all angles of vision. Very good. Huh? Regularly. That's under the frequency. It's definitely there. Regularly. Humbly approaching the mood. So we have submissively, yeah, submissively, devotedly, Yeah. Okay, there's another method which you must think of, and it's repeated a few times. So one is the different angles of vision, right? And another method. Something similar that we're doing now. Very good. So studying together in the association. So here we have, by discussing them in the association of devotees, with the cooperation of your God brothers and sisters, with the help of other devotees, with the help of your senior God brothers and sisters. So two major themes repeated in the methodology. From all angles of vision, don't just take it from one approach. Don't get, you know, we're already locked in, right? You know, we're misconceiving life. That's why we're conditioned souls. So don't approach Prabhupada's teachings and be locked in. Let's keep a very open heart and look at all the different angles so that we can be receptive to learn more and more and more. Very important. And let's do it in the association of the devotees, because that confirms Tushanticha Ramanticha. And this association doesn't have to be limited to the class. It's much better to have katha with the devotees, with your fellow God brothers and God sisters, outside of the class environment, than to talk about, you know, maybe for some of us, 60, 70, 80% of the things we talk about. It's actually much more enlivening and purifying and faith-building for us to discuss outside of class, to take a purport and to ask a question. And I read this, and what do you think? Okay. So shall I just read them all? Again and again. Always, as much as possible. As soon as you get time, at least 1 hour daily, at least 1 or 2 hours daily, at least 3 hours a day, constantly, continuously, daily, in small installments, more and more, once, twice, thrice, one after another. Over and over. Reading 24 hours. Regularly. Repeatedly. Repeatedly. Whole life. Throughout the day as much as possible. And wherever. Whenever there is time. And the mood. As it is spoken by Krishna. Adeptly. Attentively. Carefully, critically, deeply, devotedly, diligently, faithfully, expertly, intensely, nicely, penetratingly, persistently, philosophically, profoundly, profusely, seriously, sincerely, submissively, thoughtfully, with adherence, and with due care. And I've read the other ones for the method, but the other ones are minutely, scientifically, scrutinizingly, step by step, cautiously, and thoroughly. So that's an ecstatic list. And you can have them all as a gift. You see, the advantage of thematically studying Srila Prabhupada's teachings bears a lot of fruits. This is the different angles of vision, right? The different lights of direction. There's a great advantage. It puts everything very much into focus, into relevance. Vyasadeva compiled the Vedas. Srila Prabhupada compiled the purports of the Acharyas. So we're compilers by nature. That's the nature of the intelligence. It reflects. It kind of thinks, you know. So that's the nature. So let us take all these elements of Krishna conscious philosophy and put them all together so that, end result, first result is that they can empower me to get out of the modes of material nature. And second result is that they can empower me to present them in such a way that it enlivens people to develop either first level of faith or to continue with their faith. So two results: personal practice and advancement along the path of bhakti, and the capacity to share it nicely with others, to give people that opportunity. Because that's Prabhupada's incessant desire, to share Krishna consciousness with others. There is no personality on this planet that is as incessantly desiring as Srila Prabhupada to share Krishna consciousness with others. And look at this now, because Prabhupada has been physically gone for already 35 years, nearly 36, in a few days. And look how he is pushing us all to serve his mission, to follow his instructions, and to share Krishna consciousness with others. And how does he push us more and more? Because we can say, well, you know, I want to be pushed more. By us surrendering to his will. There are two societies in this world. One society is called the cheaters and the cheated. And the other society is called the pushers and the pushed. Now the cheaters and the cheated, they stay in this material world forever. And the pushers and the pushed, they all go back to Godhead. And Prabhupada is inviting people to join the society of the pushers and the pushed. And give up the foot or the whole body into this society of cheaters and cheated. Reject it categorically. And that's why Prabhupada struggled so hard to build a society, so that it can be comprehensive in the capacity for devotees to push and be pushed back to Godhead. Prabhupada says, my spiritual master is pushing me and I am pushing you. And here we have a room full of devotees, apart from the Sringananda Prabhu, who has been pushed by Srila Prabhupada, even though Srila Prabhupada is no longer physically present. This is a very interesting phenomenon. And it's a phenomenon that's only going to increase. And that's glorious. So let us continue with this journey and let us reap the results of the sadhanas that Prabhupada has given us, to chant Hare Krishna, to worship the deity and to study his teachings, and become happily freed from the modes of material nature, become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and to fulfill the purport of our human lives by becoming very Krishna conscious. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any queries, questions? Yes, Manaji.
I have a question on the verse. He said, I think I heard that he said that one category of people are the sinful religious.
Yeah.
So if people who are sinful but religious, they come to us, and as preachers, how are we to deal with them? Like if they've committed some sinful activity and they are incurring the results of their sinful activity, for example, maybe it disrupts their family life, and they come to us for protection. They come to Radharas Bihari for protection, and they come to us, you know, for protection in terms of advice and trying to nullify the results of the sin. So how are we to deal with this as preachers? Like some of us may think that it's so much trouble because we get involved in the family disruption. So how are we to deal with this?
With care and caution. Prabhupada says when you go looking for the whale, you can't get, when you go fishing, you can't get wet. You can't fall off the boat. So that is actually the degree. Now, inside of that, we can offer so much mercy, so much insight, so much association, so much friendship to anybody who comes into the door. It just has to stay and become a Krishna conscious environment. So ultimately, that can only really happen if the people who are coming are sincere. So Krishna accepts devotees or people to come in a distressed state, right? This is a distressed state that you're talking about, and Krishna accepts that. But ultimately, they have to be sincere to get out of their distress and to take shelter in Krishna consciousness. But it's very specific also. I mean, you're talking about family situations and, you know, it's very delicate. So, to the best of our ability, we help. Knowing our limitations and knowing the sensitivities. Because, you know, especially family, Prabhupada said, you know, family, it's not easy inside of family discussions or family. It's a universe inside itself. And, you know, if people come, both parties come for counseling because they've gone into a certain pit in their relationship, something has happened, and they've, you know, they're in a pit, they're in a dip, and they see that, and ultimately they don't want to stay in that, so they come for counseling, they come for higher help, then it's easier to take, you know, a broken couple or a broken family and put them back together, because the will is there. But if it's not, you know, together, then we're going to enter into a lot of complexities. That's for sure.
I didn't hear the last part.
If that's not together, you know, if the couple doesn't come together, then we'll enter into a lot of complexities. It's more complex. That's. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.